Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. Excuse me. And 24. Verse 23-24. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23-24. It says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel's. Everybody say, the blood still speaks. Now, y'all being quiet on me today. Say it with me. The blood still speaks. So the blood of Jesus still speaks today just as strong, loud, bold, and better than ever before. Are you speaking and sprinkling the blood of Jesus today in your daily, weekly lives? That's a question for you to answer and ascertain for yourselves. The blood of Jesus still works when we work it and apply it by faith. Unfortunately, too many Christians have gone away and have drifted away from singing about the blood and speaking about the blood. But the blood still works. Why is this important? Because the enemy, our enemy, Satan and his demon cohorts are always going about tempting us and troubling us to forfeit our Christian joy, which is the joy of Jesus and the joy of our salvation, and who we are in Christ by, number one, constantly bringing us into the presence of sin. And secondly, deceiving us into denying the power of sin. And thirdly, accusing us before God, assaulting us in our minds, afflicting us in our souls, our emotions, and our mental well-being, and condemning us in our conscience before because of the penalty of sin. So if you sin, he's coming after you, because sin lets the devil get in. But we said and we've sung, what can wash away our sin? Come on now, what is it? We sung it today, the plead the blood, right? Nothing but the blood. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. So why do we forget about it and don't sprinkle it or speak it when we need it the most? So that's the question we want to drive home today into our hearts and lives. Romans 3:23-26 says, for all have sinned. So we can't say we haven't. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, there was original sin, but there is restored glory. There was original glory, but there's also restored glory. Do you think on Resurrection Sunday there was no glory? Man, you think when Jesus was born, was there glory? They said, glory to God in the highest. And God wants you to live in his glory like he had Adam and Eve do. That means we ought to be experiencing the presence of our Savior, not the presence of sin. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. We've been declared righteous, or just as if you'd never sinned. freely. By whose grace? By his, God's grace, through the redemption. That's the shedding of his blood for the payment of a price of our, for our sins and our transgressions and for our rebellion. That's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as the propitiation through faith in his blood, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them, of him who which believe in Jesus. So we are to remember and receive about Jesus Christ's death and his shed blood today. The blood of Jesus still works. It is super effective today as it ever was before. Because we know, even just through that song, the truth of it, it will never, ever lose what? So if we believe that's true and in truth, then to 2024, March 17th, St. Patrick's Sunday, Day Sunday, the blood never loses power, hasn't lost any iota or inkling of power. For it reaches where? To the highest mountain. And it flows where? To the lowest valley. Now listen to this. That blood gives me strength. It is the blood that gives me what? It is what that gives me strength? The blood that gives me strength. From what? From day to day. It will never, ever lose what? Its power. So why do we go through the days not getting strength from the blood? The blood still speaks. The blood still works. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 9:12, New Living Translation says, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered into the most holy place once. Once. Once for all time and secured our redemption forever. One-time payment. It was enough. The blood of Jesus was enough. You didn't need to keep killing animals. They weren't enough. But Jesus' blood is enough. It still works. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. How do you have redemption? Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. Plus, you get an added thing, the forgiveness of your sins. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make you whole again? So how is it that when we miss it, we don't go to the blood? We don't speak or sprinkle or plead the blood. We see stuff going on at the house or on the job that ain't right. It ain't righteous. It's maybe illegal, maybe immoral, maybe unethical. What should we be sprinkling? What should we be speaking? Everybody say the blood. The rest of the blood. The blood still speaks. Hallelujah. The Passion Translation says, for in the Son all our sins are canceled. In who? In Jesus. Man, I know we celebrate Easter and resurrection on the 31st, but really our resurrection personally should be every day, every week, because of what his blood has done, that his blood has made us worthy to receive all his exceeding great and precious promises. Everybody say, the blood still speaks. The blood still works. He said, for in the Son, the Passion Translation, Colossians 1:14, are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. See, how much and how effectively do you use the blood of Jesus? I'm provoking you today. I'm inciting you to become more blood conscious, more blood bold. Now, I know your mental mind doesn't want to wrap its head around it because we always think blood. But, you know, the Bible's a bloody book. When Moses read the New Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the law, he sprinkled blood on it. And then he sprinkled blood on the people. He said, this is the blood that God of the covenant that God has joined to you. So the blood was speaking back then. Andrew Murray said it this way. It is the sprinkling of blood and the pleading of the blood or speaking of blood is in the highest form of worship. The sprinkling of blood is the highest form of blood. So when have you got into that presence of God and sprinkled the blood or spoke the blood? Y'all hear? Don't waste the blood of Jesus. Sprinkle and speak the blood. Somebody speak to someone next to you and say, sprinkle and speak the blood. All right. Let's look at what is the blood of Jesus speaking and saying about you today. Let's look at this. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures here, and then I'm going to give you some elements that the blood speaks concerning you about those scriptures. But first, let's go back to getting a concept of blood speaking, just general blood speaking. So here we're going to see Abel's blood speaking in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8 through 12. Now, listen to this. Now, Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Now, this is a bad thing. This is the first murder in the Bible. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Now, this is a bad deal. Everybody say, this is not good. And so, Abel, then the Lord said, to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Totally disrespectful. And he said, what have you done? Look at verse 10. Look at it. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Abel's blood was speaking. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. Verse 12, Genesis 4:12. Then that you will till the ground and shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. See, we see in this recorded account of a murder from the Bible between two humans that the blood of the innocent victim, in this case it was Abel, the blood of Abel cried out to God from the ground. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, the scriptures tells us that by the blood, Abel still speaks. Now listen to this. Hebrews 11, 4, it says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. So if the blood of Abel is still speaking today, what is it speaking? In this context, it was speaking judgment. My brother killed me. Without a cause, without a righteous cause. I was doing right, and my brother rose up, and we don't know how he did it. Hit him in the head with a stone, cut him with a knife, choked him out, hit him with an object. We don't know, but it says he rose up and killed his brother. And his blood was crying judgment. And judgment came to Cain about his occupation, about his identity. He would have a mark on him. And he would have a curse on his life. for what he did. Abel's blood spoke, but if Abel's blood is still speaking judgment, then certainly the blood of Jesus is still speaking justice and justification today. Woo! Glory to God. So what is the blood of Jesus? What is it speaking and saying about you today? Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. Look at this. 1 Peter 1, 17, it says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges to each one his work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing," verse 18, "knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold," not money, "from the aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." Everybody say, "the precious blood of Christ," "as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Somebody say, "praise the Lord." Somebody say, "hallelujah." So what is this scripture telling us? Well, this scripture here is telling us several things. Actually, four things, five things. It's saying, "I am the blood of Jesus." It is saying, "I am incorruptible." This means I can never be destroyed, depleted, or diminished in power. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. I am as strong today as I was over 2,000 years ago, ever before. I am working effectually in you right now. See, the blood still speaks. So it is the blood of Jesus, and you have to declare and speak what the blood is to you today. Secondly, out of this verse, we get, "I am the blood of redemption." Everybody say, "I am the blood of redemption." Or say it this way, "the blood of Jesus is the blood of redemption." So it's speaking. It says, "I am more precious than silver and gold. I paid for your release from the prison of sin. I brought you freedom. I declared that you are hereby free." Somebody say, "praise the Lord." Everybody say, "the blood of Jesus." This is number three, is the blood of freedom. Come on, is the blood of freedom. I say that you are free. You are free from dead religion. You are free to worship the living God in spirit and in truth. I say bondage is never God's will for you. You will live in liberty. Somebody say, "praise the Lord." Hallelujah. Everybody say, "the blood of Jesus is the blood of cleansing." That's number four. I certify that you have been made spotless and whole. See, we kind of glibly say, "What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood." But you remember, 1 John 1, 9 is not just forgiveness. Colossians 1, 14 doesn't tell us redemption through his blood, but it says forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness includes the remitting of the penalty and the price for that sin, wiping that penalty out, but also cleansing you from what? All unrighteousness. So this is the blood of cleansing. Somebody say, "praise the Lord." So I certify that you've been made spotless and whole. I proclaim that you have been completely cleansed. In other words, Jesus and the Father God and the Holy Spirit treats you like sin never even happened. Because the blood of Jesus gets down on a molecular level, and they can't even look at sin in your life under a microscope. They can't find it. See, this is when you become blood conscious, when you run into the presence of God without any sense of guilt, any sense of fear, condemnation, or inferiority. Because you said, "your blood has made me worthy, Lord. Your blood has made me worthy to come right into your presence, right into the Holy of Holies." We've been reading about that in the Old Testament in our Bible reading. How many of you have been enjoying that? But only the high priest could go in there once a year. with blood for his own sins and blood for everybody else's. And they had to tie that bells and stuff on his garment so it could be clanging so they can know he's still living, he's still moving around. If he got caught doing something wrong or did sinful things, then he dropped dead right in the Holy of Holies. And they had to take that rope that tied on him as the high priest and pull him out, because he committed something unclean, or he came in there unclean and unholy. Improper sacrifice or something like that. See, that's how religious people act today. They act like, well, I ain't talked to God in a while. I ain't met with God in a while. I hadn't been in the presence of God in a while. Well, that should be something wrong. Houston, there's a problem. But you and I have been cleansed on a molecular level, on a microscopic level, that God himself can't even find it. He can't even find your sin. Where is it at? Where is it at? It's been cleansed. What can wash away our sin? What can make us whole? Now you become so righteousness conscious and blood conscious where you go right into God's presence. And he treats you like sin never happened. Everybody say, that's amazing grace. That's amazing grace. Somebody say, glory to God. Everybody say, the blood still speaks. So he's saying this is the blood of cleansing. So how do you deal with sin? You speak and sprinkle the blood. This verse says to us, number 5, that I am the precious blood. I am dearer than money, cars, clothes, and houses. I am true treasure. I contain all the virtues and qualities of Jesus. I contain all the virtues and qualities of Jesus. Hear me, because I, the blood of Christ, have been applied to your life. You are precious. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do not believe any words that say otherwise. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. See, we believe all this condemnation and guilt, and you hear people, and they always talk about your past and what you did and your history and all that. And you can just say, well, you just snicker and smile. You don't have to argue with people. You just say, that's under the blood. That the blood has washed that out. And God's up there in heaven and the Lord, and they're saying, what are they talking about? You remember when you used to do that? No, he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creature, creation. Old things are passed away, and all things have become what? So how can God blot out everything you've done? By the blood of Jesus. Y'all remember when Reverend Jim came the first time? He taught on what? Come on, somebody, this is a test question. He taught on what? Don't waste your righteousness. And this is how Christians do waste their righteousness. Because righteousness has been given to us as a gift. Redemption has been given to us as a gift of his grace. It's up to us not to waste it by struggling to get into the presence of God or staying out of the presence of God or not acting God inside minded. Why did the Holy Spirit, the Father God and Jesus, move into your spirit? Now it's represented by the Holy Spirit. Why are you the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because the blood has made you a worthy temple. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, some of y'all get this. It's probably about midnight, and you'll start screaming. Hallelujah. Verse 31, Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? Now, I submit to you, as some have submitted and suggested to me, and I've kind of taken that suggestion, that this verse and this, its preceding verse is the power of daily rebuke. Now, this has nothing to do with demons. This has to do with things and negative circumstances that pop up in your life, that pop up in your day, that pop up in your week. What do you say to them? Well, we said the Bible is a bloody book, so the Bible has blood on it. It's blood sealed. It's blood effective. And the devil can't cross the bloodline. But you and I are responsible to put the bloodline down. Because the whole entire spiritual atmosphere, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is congested with hostile forces. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's always about trying to get into our head, trying to get into our heart, trying to get into our house. So how do you repel him? With your wisdom and knowledge and strength and muscles? Well, buy another gun. No, he only listens to what? Jesus. He only and complies with what? The blood of Jesus. So here's the power of David Bush. See, what should we say to these things? This could be anything. People, places, problems, right? I always look at it that way. It's holistic in its nature. So the answer is what we say. If God is what? For us, who can be what? Against us, who did not spare his own son, but delivered us for us all. How shall we not also with him freely give us how many things? All things. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? There's another question. Who's going to charge you? Who's going to say, you wrong? I caught you with your pants down. I caught you in the act. Remember the lady caught in the act of adultery? Now, what was the guy? Who were the guys that she was committing adultery with? The guy or the guys? They didn't bring them, did they? No, they just interrupted just Jesus right in church when he was teaching and threw the woman down with no clothes on in front of him. Probably just maybe a sheet around her or something. He said, where are your accusers? That's the four. This is the four of that who won't lay any charge against God's. Look at what it says. See, y'all got to think about this. I want you thinking. You're thinking. That's good. He said, it is God who justifies, declares rights. Who is he who condemns us? Who condemns? Another question. It is Christ who died. What did he do when he died? He shed his blood. And his furthermore is also risen. Didn't he rise? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So what is this blood speaking? I am the blood of intercession. God listens to me as I speak on your behalf. He is our advocate, right? I say that you are special. He agrees. I say that you are bound to succeed. He agrees. The judge of all. Praise God. I say you always wins. He agrees. By me, you cannot fail. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The second thing, I am the blood of prosperity. Hear me. I am truth prosperity. I guarantee that God will never withhold any good thing from you. He gave me the blood of his son, his best. That means he'll give you, if he gave you Jesus, he'll freely give you anything and everything you need. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we say it this way. You always internalize it, visualize it, personalize it, naturalize it and then verbalize it or vocalize it. So you say, what shall I say to you? If God be with me, this cannot be against me. He spared not his only son, but he gave me Jesus. And if he freely gave me Jesus, he'll freely give me anything and everything I need concerning this situation. Because, you know, when you get in a situation, you always think, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? Now, don't look at me in that tone of voice, because I know that those thoughts come to me, so they have to come to you. What am I going to do? What are we going to do? But he said, you got to speak to those things. What did Jesus do with the wind? He rebuked it. What did Jesus do with the fever and Peter's mother-in-law? He rebuked it. What did he do to devils and demons? He cast out the spirit with his word. He rebuked them. He stopped them from speaking, charging, and challenging. Do you hear what I'm talking about? He stopped them from speaking, charging, and challenging. Guess what you can do? You can stop the enemies of your soul from speaking, charging, and challenging you. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is also the blood of sanctification. Jesus' body was raised from the spiritual death through me by God's power. I restored the Son of God into newness of life. I sanctified him even after he had became sin and a curse. I restored him unto righteousness. I washed away all the defilement of hell and consecrated his risen body to return to heaven. I have likewise consecrated you. So you got to think blood conscious. God inside minded. His blood has made me worthy. All the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. 1 John 1:7. Listen to this. If we walk, if we really are living and walking in the light as he himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. Christ, his son, cleanses us, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. So I am the blood of light. If I walk in the light as he is in the light, and I, the blood of Jesus, will cleanse you from every stain of sin. You are a child of light, and you will never walk in darkness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I am the blood of access. The blood of access. I certify that you have been approved to enjoy the benefits of heaven without restriction. Ooh, glory to God. I am your passport to the kingdom of God. Thirdly, I am the blood of illumination. I say the light of my blood is in you right now, driving away spiritual darkness. I have no reason to fear evil. Evil fears you, and you are now in the kingdom of light. Excuse me. I am the blood of purification. Everybody say purification. I am life. I am light. I say that you are filled with divine light right now. I say that you are in God's light and his light shines through you. Now, come on now. Y'all hear me that the blood still speaks? Now, let's look at Revelation. We'll look at a couple more and then we'll talk about pleading the blood of Jesus and not pleading self-defense. We'll close it with that. Revelations 5, 9, and 10, look at this. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book, scroll, and open its seals, for you were slain, talking about Jesus, and hath redeemed us unto God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Everybody say hallelujah. So this blood is saying, I am royal blood. Everybody say royal blood. I attest to your royal birthright. You are born of the tribe of Judah. I testify that you are the Son of God in good standing. I've made you a prince, or you can say a daughter of God, or a princess. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Secondly, I am the blood of dominion. I have been applied to your life, and I have made you a king indeed. You, where the word of the king is, there is power. That's in Ecclesiastes 8:4. By me, you rule and reign. Now, circumstances are not to be ruling and reigning. You are supposed to rule and reign. Thirdly, I am the blood of authority. I certify your dominion. I command that your world can, that your word be respected. By me, you have commanding power. Somebody say hallelujah. I say you have kingdom authority. Now, Ezekiel 16:6 says this, when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, live. Now, how many of you have been to the doctor recently? I know our sister has back here. I have. Others have. I know my wife has. What do they do? They do a full blood panel or full blood work on you sometimes, depending on what's going on. And they may get, what, 6 or 7 vials? It seems like they're pulling out a pint or so of blood. But anyway, they get your lipid panel, they can look at your blood microscopically and test it for all different kinds of things. And if you got something going on with your blood, you need to be using this verse. Ezekiel 16:6, when he said, when I saw you struggling in your own blood, come on now, what did he say? L-I-V-E, live. How many of you ever been cut? Were you bled? Now, if it's a big cut, what happens? They have to bandage it up or suture it up. Why? Because that blood, as soon as it's starting running out, it starts what? Start dying. Start getting corrupted. The blood is saying, you've got live DNA, Jesus Christ. But you have to speak and say, live. You get your panel report from the doctor, what should you be speaking? Live. My heart beats with the rhythm of life, and the blood of Jesus is pumping through my heart and through my blood. Blood, live in Jesus' name. What is this saying? I am the blood of virtue. I pronounce you curse free. You pronounce your blood, your body, cancer free. I pronounce myself leukemia free. Somebody say praise the Lord. When I was applied to your life, I imparted the very life and nature of God into you. I am the very life and nature of God unto you. I am renewing your strength and your youth. And I say that you are empowered to live life to the fullest and to the full completion of God's purposes and plan for your life in Jesus' name. Secondly, the blood of blessing. Everybody say the blood of blessing. I say by virtue of heaven, it is in you. The virtue of heaven is in you, that you have in your being the life that is stronger than death, stronger than disease, stronger than poverty, stronger than sin. Everybody say, I plead the blood. I speak the blood. Look at Leviticus 17:11. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. and I have given it to you, and upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for souls, for the soul. So this is the blood of healing. I am in you right now, imparting life and health to all your flesh. I say disease cannot stand in my presence, just like they couldn't stand in Jesus' presence. Evil spirits and darkness flee from me. I say that you are a vessel of God containing the treasure of divine life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will restore health unto you and heal you of all your wounds in Jesus' name. So when you're in the situation, you plead the blood of Jesus. You don't plead self-defense. Revelations 12:11 says this, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. To death. And it has been said this, this is a quote, that he or she who serves as his or own legal counsel has a fool for a client. Now, where does self-defense start? Your mama yells out, who took those cookies from the cookie jar? And you say, well, the grandma yells out, who took the cookies? Who took that? Who ate that chocolate? Not me. Self-defense, right? And then over the course of our life, we get real good and strong at it. But he who serves as his own legal counsel has a fool for a clown. Client. Did you know that the devil goes up day and night, the Bible says in Revelations, as the accuser of the brethren, where the accuser is a legal term that means prosecuting attorney. And as Dr. Rick Renner says, he said this, what is he doing in heaven? What is he doing in the courtrooms of heaven before the judge of all? He's filing lawsuits against you and me as Christian believers and Christ followers. And he's saying, there's sin, there's unrighteousness, there's unholiness, there's uncleanliness, and he files these lawsuits, and so we're just legally tied up in like a little box where he tries to force the judge to render a verdict and a judgment of condemnation. You don't deserve to be blessed. They don't deserve to be healed. Because they're sin. And then the judge looks at you and says, how do you plead? And the Bible tells us in 1 John 2 that if any man sin, we have an advocate. An advocate with the Father. That means we have a defense attorney. Now, some of us don't even use that defense attorney because we think I can go in there and just bribe my way and buffalo my way out of the problem. And like they said in the old days, you liar, your pants on fire. I got to wake some of you guys up. We're almost done. Whenever you face off with the devil, his demon cohorts and evil spirits, or go before God, the righteous judge of all, we should never try to defend ourselves. Can I have an amen to that? We have no self-defense. Everybody say, I have no self-defense. Now, self-righteous Christians think they do. I've been going to church all these years. And they think somehow they deserve or they're earned enough credits to go and stand before the judge of all with no advocate or with no plea. They're their own counsel. What's the song again? What can wash? It ain't because you raised them and did everything right. You have to run your I'm right through the blood. That's not good enough. So your only plea is what? The blood. How do you plead? You ought to look at your advocate and say, I plead blood. Your honor, your judge, father, he or she pleads the blood in this case. And he drops his gavel and says, place dismiss. Get out of here, devil. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We cannot claim our goodness, our self-righteousness, or even our personal merits, so we suppose, as a good defense against the accuser of the brethren or before our holy, righteous God. Only the blood of Jesus can silence the enemy's accusations and silence the voice of self-condemnation. Only the blood of Jesus can silence the enemy's accusations and silence the voice of self-condemnation. No matter how long your rap sheet is or how serious your offense is or are, your offenses are, The blood of Jesus can wipe away the slate clean. He can wipe your slate clean. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, let's get real practical. Every day, do you honor the blood? That's a question, but you can just answer for yourself. Every day, do you sprinkle and speak the blood of Jesus every day over everything that pertains to you? Because the blood still speaks and the blood still works, right? So every day, do you honor the blood? Do you speak the blood? Amen. You ought to get up and say, Lord, I come boldly to your throne of grace by the blood of Jesus. I honor the blood. Because there's nothing in me that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing in me that the blood can't cure. There's nothing in me or my family that the blood can't change or correct for the better. I sprinkle and plead the blood of Jesus over my spirit, soul, and body, over my marriage, over my family, over my finances, over my job, over my boss, over my work environment. Plead the blood. Speak the blood. Hebrews 9. 12 and 14 through 14 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He went into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and the blood of goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? Shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, here's where you go back and take inventory. You got to go back and say, well, did I just blow this day, or would this day give honor and glory to God? Did I enter into the presence of God? Because some people say, well, I'm bored, or I'm bothered, or I'm bitter, or I'm burdened with this situation. Come on now, you're not pleading the blood. You're not applying the blood by faith when you do that. When you encapsulate your day and you end your day and you're up at night thinking about your boredom, thinking about your bitterness, thinking about your burdens, thinking about what bothers you, you haven't pled or spoke the blood. Because the blood has the power to cleanse your conscience from anything that's foreign, number one, anything that is superfluous, that doesn't have a right or a responsibility to be in your soul, and anything that brings moral defilement to your life if you're thinking ugly, if you're thinking ungodly, come on now, if you're thinking unholy, then that is moral defilement. And if you up night drinking the bread of eating the bread of sorrows and thinking of all that sad stuff or that situational negativity, then you haven't been pleading the blood. You haven't been mixing faith in the blood. How much more shall the blood of Christ? Woo! There is nothing in us, nothing in our marriage, nothing in our family, nothing in our finances, nothing in our physical bodies, nothing in our minds, our emotions, that the blood cannot cleanse, that the blood cannot cure, change, or correct for the better. Come on, can I have an amen? Colossians 1:19 and 20 says, "For it pleased the Father in him that all the fullness should dwell, and by him, by Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth and things in heaven, and having made peace through the blood of his cross." Now, if you're still struggling with relationships and friendships, come on now. Y'all here with me this morning still? It's 12 o'clock. I'm getting ready to close. I just got a couple more scriptures to give you. If you're struggling in your relationships and friendships, either this way up vertically or this way out here horizontally or peer groups or this way with people who've been entrusted into your care, if you're struggling, if there's no peace there, you need to apply the blood. Dr. Marilyn Harrington says she did it with this. She got revelation of this verse. And sometimes you need to read that, because especially if you got estranged kids or if you're struggling in your relationship with your kids or your maybe siblings or parents even, you know, situations or wherever your relationships are. And she used this, she said, even on people in her church who were struggling in their relationships in their marriage. She said, "God, if this works, I'm going to use it on this situation." This lady was trying to paint the children's wing, one of the rooms, and she and her husband, Wally, when he was alive, Marilyn Hickey, she said that the lady painted a very grotesque and ugly color that they didn't like. She thought it was good, but she didn't get full instruction. Anyway, in this situation, she got offended or hurt. She said, "Do you like it?" They said, "No, that's not what we asked." And so she got hurt and upset. And you know how some people get upset in a relationship, and then there's no peace there. Well, she ran out and stormed out crying. And she tried to call her and try to reconcile with her and get everything straightened out. But the lady kept hanging up on her. This is one of her church members, their church member. She kept hung it up. And the Holy Spirit led her to this verse. She said, "Use that verse." So she said, I mix faith in the blood, according to Colossians 1:20, over the relationship, and called her name out and spoke the blood and spoke the word. She called back. The lady called back that afternoon, later on that afternoon. Said, "I'm sorry. I was very mad, upset, and hurt. Da, 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 da." She asked for forgiveness. They got it right, got restored, got reconciled. Well, why come we don't use that? The blood still works. This blood has never lost its power. Are you listening to me? And she began to use it on people who were getting and thinking about filing for a divorce, and she would speak Colossians 1:20 over them. Mix faith in the blood and faith in his word that God will reconcile everything from heaven to their hearts, to their home, and to their harmonious, holy matrimony. That the divorce will not go through. And they all of a sudden their eyes came open and they forgave each other and got back together and reconciled. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, there's no relationship that the blood cannot reconcile or restore. There's nothing in us that the blood of Jesus cannot reconcile from heaven to our hearts. See, when we place ourselves under the blood of Jesus at the cross, Satan's accusations lose their force and their power. The sentence of condemnation and judgment is lifted from our heads and our house. We need to learn how to aggressively plead the blood of Jesus in intercession over our marriages, over our families, over our children, over our grandchildren, over our great-grandchildren. Praise God, over our churches, over our spiritual and civil leaders, and over our elected officials and people in our nation, and indeed all the nations, we need to say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. I speak the blood. The blood of Jesus is our protection, our peace, our power. We need to apply it. The Lamb's blood afforded the Israelites no protection, peace, and power against the angel of death and destruction until it was applied to their doorposts. You remember Moses was told by the Lord, he said, this tenth curse was that I'm going to send the death angel and he's going to kill every firstborn. All your animals, the firstborn children. He said, but you got to take the blood of the Lamb and do what? Put it on the doorposts. Both sides and the top, not on the bottom, not on the threshold, because you don't want to trample the blood. You want to cover your house with the blood. Everybody say, praise the Lord. So they had to apply it. What do we do today? The hyssop that they applied it on the doorstep is our tongue. We got to speak the blood. We got to plead the blood. We got to sprinkle the blood. Hallelujah. For the blood of Jesus to be effective, we must combine action and belief. Action with belief. Belief plus action will protect us and give us victory. Don't walk away from the bloodline. The blood of Jesus is powerful, but the devil is relentless. We said he never takes a day off. He's a persistent cuss. So you must stay aggressive with your faith. As new covenant, blood-washed, and blood-blessed believers and Christ follows, we have every right to draw a faith bloodline that the devil cannot cross. Now I'm going to close with this brief story. You get something out of this today? There was an evangelist. I told the story before. I just bears repeating. Who he was gaining success, winning souls, pushing forward for God, and winning people into the kingdom. And the devil comes up to him as he's driving home from one of his crusades or evangelistic meetings, outreaches. And he says something very nasty to him. He said, I'm going to kill your kids. When you get home, I'm going to kill your kids. He had some property and some land. About 5-something acres. I think he said 5.7 acres of land. He had a fence around it. And he said, I'm gonna infect those foxes around your property with rabies, and I'm going to kill your kids. They're going to bite your kids and kill them. He had three kids, wife and three kids. So he, as he drove home, thank you. So he came home. He got his kids and his family with him. And what'd they do? He called them in the living room and they took communion. He told them what the devil said. He said, you know, we're going to take communion. We're going to claim the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ as our protection. But then he also put action to what they believed in prayer. He went out all the way around his 5.7 acres and walked his fence line. And he said, everywhere his fence line was, he said, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. 10 days later, he was out there dealing with his property, and he said, he walked out and checked his fence line. Excuse me. And there were 5 foxes dead right where his fence line was. The devil cannot cross your faith bloodline. Thank you, Jesus. Stand to your feet, please. Stand up with me.